Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK. Started from the bottom, now we're
here. Here we are, hour number two of the show here, coming to you from Golden 1 Center. Tonight, the Kings are in Los Angeles to take on the Clippers. Of course, we'll have that game for you here as the Kings look to regroup after they got just drubbed by the Clippers last time, a 38-point loss. There is an update, though, Doug, on Hassan Whiteside. He underwent an MRI on Monday, which confirmed that left hip flexor strain. So he's considered day-to-day. And we're talking about getting the defense better. He doesn't get a ton of run, but it seems like the defense is a little bit better when he's on the floor.
Rim protector.
Yeah.
It. I don't know that the Kings necessarily think this way, but I did. When I knew guys were going to be protecting the rim, you get a little bit more frisky on the perimeter. You know that you got a little bit of backing, that you can be a little more aggressive, maybe go for a steal, maybe deny the passing lane a little harder. Hips don't lie, though.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to be – I mean, hopefully there's a long season still ahead, and hopefully he will be able to have that impact. And knock on wood, they've been relatively healthy, but that's a piece, a part of the rotation that could really help.
Most teams, I was going to say, go through like an injury spell.
Mm-hmm.
But now you go through an injury spell and a COVID spell almost. So, I think his rim protection, especially when you're playing against like a Steven Adams, like a Jokic, bigger guys, a bit slower, then all of a sudden you're able to play Whiteside, or even if you're going to go zone in many ways, and he's able to stay out of the lane, get out, get back in, protect the rim, block some shots, and then change a lot of others.
Yeah. You mentioned, Doug, that, you know, teams also kind of have to go through a COVID spell. Knock on wood, the Kings have done fairly well there, but the Wizards had not. Jay sent us a note during the break that they've been cleared, speaking of the Wizards, today, and cleared to return to practice, but they have been out for several games, and we're seeing more and more of that. We mentioned earlier that the Grizzlies-Blazer game that was supposed to go tonight was postponed. So missing multiple people, missing practice, just getting out of the routine. And that's the one thing I think, and you could speak to this better, but NBA is really about a rhythm of getting into a routine. It was just weird to have 2 days off for the Kings. That hasn't happened yet. I mean, it's been every day or every other day. Now to have two, and there's a stretch, I think, later where they have three, that'll feel like an eternity.
Yeah.
But when you haven't been playing because of COVID, that's got to be a challenge for a team like the Wizards.
It does. I mean, yesterday, Jay and I had on somebody from the Australian Open. And they were saying that some of the players were quarantined in their hotel. Some of the players were in rooms without windows.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
No.
Okay. Well, and that was like 5-7 day quarantine. Like that is tough. So, yeah, players – I can't remember the baseball player, but they had him. It was on Instagram, Twitter, or something. He took his bed, put it against a wall, had to, brought some balls, and he was throwing at the bed.
At the bed, yeah.
Just to get some type of reps in. So, yeah, creative, but resource. Timing. There's a lot of things that will be off, but that is where. Listen. If we were playing them, I'd be happy. Smack them.
Yeah.
Get the W. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care if you're not right.
Hey, because you're not going to care when we're not right.
Yeah.
And defensively, we haven't been right. And
right.
Teams have been feasting.
Yeah, and at the end, when those over the years doing this too, when, you know, the Kings have had this break a few times. Hey, they might play a team, and that team doesn't have this player. Oh, well, you beat, you know, Team X, and they didn't have their second best player. Okay. At the end, if you're a game short or you made the playoffs by one game, do they go, well, you only won because that – who cares?
Yeah.
You're in.
You know, similar to – I was watching an interview with Aaron Rodgers, and they were saying, like, you lost to Tampa Bay earlier in the year. And they said, yeah, but Tampa Bay lost to the Saints earlier in the year. How'd that go?
Twice.
Right. So you face teams at different times. Different things are happening. Sometimes, like when we faced this Clippers team, they didn't have Patrick Beverley or Lou Williams. We still lost.
Yeah. Badly.
Big.
Yeah.
So – might be better had they been playing. Who knows? But it's you just got to deal, especially in this era with COVID. Deal with what you got in front of you, and it's just where we're at.
Yeah,
it's no crying. You got to just deal with it.
Yeah, and that other part of the story that we brought up in First Things First with the Blazers and Grizzlies postponed tonight. I don't know. I don't know if it'll impact the Kings, but the Grizzlies are the team they're watching, and they didn't, you know, with contact tracing, and the Kings play them on Sunday and Monday, so
back to back.
That's something to watch. That's a weird trip, too, because it's not only Memphis. I say weird, but then it's, what, three games in Miami with Toronto now being there, and you got Orlando and Miami. But the Kings have been at home. That was the other part about that homestand, Doug. I think they went 2-5 on the seven-game homestand. That was too bad that they let – that's just too many losses here. I know they don't have home court advantage the same as normal, but you should be able to do better in your own building.
Yeah,
you need should. To.
You got to protect home. It is different, as you mentioned now. After I'm trying to see here. So after the Grizzlies, then the Kings go to Orlando?
Yeah, it's Orlando, Toronto, and Miami all in Florida.
Okay.
So, and then I think there's even a New Orleans game at the end of that, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd rather be in Orlando than Memphis.
Yeah,
but it's not like that anymore. Cause, well, I don't know, Florida, but even with the team, you got to reel it in and stay in.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how the league deals with this one. Mm-hmm. Do they make them? I'm sure they probably will make them post up in Memphis and just wait it out and see what happens and try to find a gym because you don't want to be practicing in their facility.
Right,
as clean as it probably is. These, like I said, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and I know there's been talk some about the actual vaccine. I know Adam Silver early on was saying, hey, look, we don't want to jump the line. There's a lot more, I don't know if important's the right word, but just the look of it where, hey, why are these NBA players jumping in front of people that you would say probably need this far more than them? They haven't done that. I don't think they're suggesting that, but they are talking about maybe making PSAs about the importance of taking the vaccine, which is good that the league, I think, is on that front.
Yeah, and you don't know where everybody stands on
right.
that, but the point is, like, I saw one with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Somebody else I just saw, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's been some people who are, what do you call those, influencers?
Yeah.
That are doing that. I don't know when it's going to come and how it's going to be distributed and all those different things. It may be in jobs like ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about with the Kings and an organization like the NBA, and it may become required.
That's what I wonder if I got to believe if you take, 400 players in the league, not everybody's going to believe in it.
Right.
I mean, just take numbers in society, right? Not everybody
right.
is for it, and there's some that are all in. That's
yeah.
fine. But can you require, can companies, you're listening today, can your company you work for, I'm sure they want that to bring everybody back to work, but that's going to be a really interesting conversation for some of these places.
I'm not a lawyer, but obviously. Can they and will they? Or I guess two different things. And I think that some organizations can be like, look, this is mine and I own it. And if you want to work here and collect a check
yeah.
here, this is how we rolling over here.
Right.
And
we have protocols to get in here. If we don't apply, we
can't, yeah,
use
you can't,
it, we
get,
can't
in.
Get in. So. Yeah.
Just like with your clear.
Yeah.
You need to show that you've been through this screening mm-hmm. process and it needs to be green. If it's red, they ain't letting you up in here.
Right.
Mine hasn't been red yet. God bless us.
Yeah.
But the point is, if I wasn't willing to do that, I'm not in here right now.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. Will that be similar with the vaccine? I think it's a strong possibility.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see. Like, if there is a strong-willed player that is against it. I just wonder how that'll go.
Yeah. First and 15th.
Yeah. Exactly. How much is your check?
Or you just, and I don't mean to make it about money, but the point is that you're working.
Yeah.
And most times you work to make a living. So if you want to do that, then okay. If you don't, I'm sure they got a league in some place that won't require you to do that.
Yeah. Well, that'll tie into what we're going to discuss next. Kyrie Irving is set to return to the Nets. Now, should we have more praise and support for him or kind of scorn for being gone? We'll discuss that as he is set to make his return for the Nets tonight. We'll do that next here on KHDK. back here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie here.
Yes, sir.
On Sports 1140, we got game night coming your way at 5:30.
Yes, we do.
Scott Marsh, the high flyer Henry Turner, then Kings and Clippers tonight. Kyrie Irving, though, Doug, set to make his return. I think everybody, I know you are very, very high on the big three.
Yes, I am.
So far, what we've seen Kevin Durant and James Harden do has been very, very impressive. So inserting Kyrie Irving will look like what?
I'm thinking that it's going to be seamless.
Okay.
And I think that because, and I hear a lot of people complaining, like, or not complaining, but trying to look at it and look at all the things that could go wrong. And you're right. I'm not that guy. I'm half full. So when I look at this, I'm thinking that Kyrie is probably going to be off the ball some, but when he catches the ball, he'll be able to do his thing. James Harden, I have a feeling, is going to be more of the point guard, which is going to sacrifice of him a little bit. But I think that when you look at both of them, I think everyone there is willing to sacrifice a little bit because they want to win. One thing that I do know about basketball, and I've played at every single level, grew up playing in the playgrounds, and one thing that I learned was, do you want to win and stay on? Because if you want to stay on, there's certain things that you're going to have to do. Like I went through this as a younger player, you know, I want to get mine, and I lose. But then sometimes I'm like, okay, I get mine. But then, oh, you know, he's really good at shooting. Let me hit him right there. Bang. Okay, we're winning. We're rolling. Everybody's feeling good. I think those guys are more on that than anything else. And I think that Kevin Durant as the kingpin, which I will call him, because I think everybody came there because of him, even though he and Kyrie were at the same time, he's the conduit between everyone. And I think it's going to work better than people think. I could be wrong,
yeah,
but that's just me.
I'm trying to think of an example where, you know, we come up with these things like the big three, just that phrasing,
mm-hmm.
where it's truly been balanced for three.
I'll give you one. Xavier McDaniel, Dale Ellis, and Tom Chambers.
But would that really – I mean, they were good.
Well, they all averaged 20 points.
Okay. I mean, the Kings had a year here where, if we're doing it that way, where they had DeMarcus, Rudy Gay, and Isaiah Thomas all averaged 20.
Mm-hmm.
Team didn't win very many games.
Right.
But, I mean, that was a big part of their offense.
Yeah, I think what you're also saying is that talent of Ellis, Xavier McDaniel, and Chambers, and the three that you named from the Kings is not the talent that we're looking at right here.
Yeah, and I guess the way – like, DeMarcus would have been the best player on a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I don't think Rudy was the best player on another team, or Isaiah. They were good.
Right.
Now, Isaiah, actually, when he left here,
right,
was really good.
Right.
But to that, where James Harden is one of the league's best players, Kyrie is one of the league's best players, Kevin Durant.
Any of those guys could go someplace on pretty much any team in the NBA and be 1A.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I guess, yeah, can they all be 1A? I mean, I think that at any point in any game, man, Kyrie's getting a number, that they would all understand, like, he's got it. They've all been it. They've lived it. Or Harden, or KD, but can they all do it all the time where they're consistently – what makes them lethal is that they're all available to do it.
I think what has been demonstrated is they don't necessarily need Kyrie. They already beat Milwaukee, who has synergy and been together and been the best team in the NBA. Did they make a few tweaks? Yeah, they did, but Giannis is still there. Giannis had 30. Middleton had 20. You had big shots coming down the stretch from Drew Holiday. And with those two and been together for 5 days and the team that they kind of put together, they were able to beat him. Kyrie adds the cherry on top of everything and could make it go. I heard someone talking about it's going to also be how Steve Nash coaches, meaning that who does he pull out first and then allow them to kind of be the leader of that second group that might be Kyrie. That's going to kind of be a thing, but, dude, they are a problem.
I know what you would say to this answer, but now not if it cannot be what you think should be.
Okay.
Let's take you – they play 10 games in a row, and everyone comes down to the last shot. Okay, I'm creating this scenario.
Mm-hmm. Who's taking it?
More times than not, because if it like, wow, it's Kevin again. Oh, it's Kevin again. It's Kevin again. Wow, it's Kevin. That's where I think, because they've all been the last shot guy before at different times, is that worth, not that it needs to get fractured, but does that test, or does it like, hey, it was Kevin last time, so now let's go to, well, no, it worked. KD hit the game winner. Why do we need to go to Harden?
Right.
Why do we need to go? That's where I think you can find a little bit of tension.
So I don't think it's going to be tension because I think they're all smart enough to understand one thing. First things first is KD most times is going to be the player that takes that shot. But you're always going to be looking for the advantage. Who has the advantage? So if Kyrie is getting, he's being guarded by someone who's not good defensively, it's probably the ball is going to be in your hands to make the decision. Not necessarily the shot, to make the decision. The same with James and the same with KD. But on most nights, KD is always going to have the advantage because he's got a five who's guarding him, or he's faster than and more agile, or he's got a four that he's more faster than, or he's more agile. And if he's got a three, he's bigger than and can shoot over with a little lean back. So that's on most nights, like 90%. Does that mean that you always go to him? No, because some nights one of those guys is just cooking. But any one of them can take and make that shot.
Yeah, and if I'm one of the two others that's on the floor, you're probably going to be wide open. You know,
for a reason, though.
Sham. Yeah, because in that last, you know, we're doubling KD. We got to keep all our extra, maybe double Harden, one on Kyrie. It's like, well, there's two other guys here. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you named shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be shooters. It might
true.
Be screeners. Because
that's true.
You're also going to have to figure out, let's also take into consideration that the trade deadline has not came.
Yeah.
I think that they will probably make a couple moves to bolster whatever they have. If for whatever reason Kyrie is acting up and ain't right, might we not see him in a Brooklyn uniform?
Yeah, that's interesting. And where do you fall in line with him now? He's set to return. I know he had some, to be honest, I thought some pretty interesting things to say yesterday about why he was out. And so I find myself.
You're a Kyrie hater, but it's okay.
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of him, but I would never want to. I think if you have stuff going on, it's important, not that you have to tell us what's going on, but if you feel it's important to share because you think it could help others, I think that's great. And I would never want to diminish that. But I'm trying to figure out exactly what it was. I mean, it just felt like it was mysterious.
Yeah, I have zero problem with it. If I did have one, the only thing that I would say is maybe communicate better
with
the people who matter.
Right.
It sounds like he talked to the team, but he didn't necessarily talk to Sean Marks and Steve Nash. I could be wrong about that because reports could be wrong, and
yeah.
They aren't going to necessarily tell you whatever it is.
Because we don't need to know.
No.
But it felt like there was a little mystery even amongst the team, and I thought, well, that's where I was – that's weird.
Yeah. But, I mean, I come from an era where I seen people go on binges and leave, okay? Like, that was right before me. I was a kid, but I watched, I'm not going to say any players, but I've seen that. Well, we're not there with this. If at any time we're going to give somebody the benefit of the doubt when we speak about mental health and different things like that, if he says that he needed a minute, damn, take a minute.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. If it's like some other issues and all that comes out later, well, you know, shame on you for kind of taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. But right now I have zero issues, and we can talk about what he's done for the WNBA and George Floyd's family
go
on and on. Like him as a leader and social activist, I am here for it. I am raise it up and let it be known that, my man is first class. As a thinker, I'm a little bit weird on my thinking. So I'm the last person to try to – people try, oh, it's too flat. And I'm just not here for all that.
Locker room okay with, hey, I'm here every day. I'm lifting weights. I'm at film. I'm doing this. I'm that. I'm traveling. I'm practicing. I'm playing. And then, boom, I'm here. Now it's my time.
Yeah, because I think that part of it is you realize who he is. Like, let's make no mistake about it. Dude is like one of the baddest dudes on the planet. Like, there's not – well, oddly enough, he's only got he got two dudes in the locker room who might be badder than him. But that's it. And you could go to any other locker room. I mean, when it comes to playing basketball, it doesn't get too much better.
Yeah, I think he's been an interesting one just based on – like, I look at his Boston time when he left.
Yeah, they got better.
Yeah, and – last year, I mean, oh, when Kyrie's out and KD's not, they're not going to do anything. They made the playoffs, and they weren't amazing.
Right.
But it's interesting that sometimes they've done just fine without him. And even now, with now it's because they got Harden and Durant, but I don't know that they need him.
Which is
a good spot for the Nets.
I was going to say, it gives them the leverage to deliver some of that Arkwright juice.
Yes.
Okay? You want Arkwright? Okay.
It's pretty powerful.
It absolutely is. It's concentrated, matter of fact. It's interesting. When I look at them, I find it hard to believe with that type of basketball acumen that the three of them aren't able to figure it out. If they weren't friends the way that they are, and I'm sure can talk to each other on a deeper level, and this is what I talk about when I talk about our kinks. We need to go at each other and practice really hard and get after each other and get in each other's you-know-what so that when the time comes in the game for me to say something to you, you know I'm coming from a place of love and you're not looking at me sideways and we don't have to go through this during the game on why would I say something to you like that. What do you mean why I always say something to you? You didn't do your job. I didn't do mine. Tell me when I didn't do mine. I think that they have the ability to speak to each other like that. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And listen, we're going to see. Because it's going to be some heated environments and some heated situations. Had Kyrie already been here, that Milwaukee game was heated.
Yeah, it was.
You know, James comes down, misses a three, boom, offensive rebound, throw it out to KD, bang, he knocks it down. Those are moments, man. So, I got the DVR set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about that life. Your boy will be watching as soon as I get home.
Let me, can I spoil anything for you? They are underway.
Yeah, good. Now, did they spoil it? I'm going. See, I enjoy watching the game because they're going to be out there doing some. Man, did you see Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
I tried to tell you guys when it happened, man. No one wanted to listen to your boy. I tried to tell you, Jay. I said, and you know what, Jay? I underestimated him. I said he was only have 27 a game coming back. My man's at 30. But, dude, the crossover and then the cross back over with the hesitation and go. Like, man, I don't know what they're doing to Achilles now, but damn, it's like not a problem.
They're fixing him up right.
They're using that new. Didn't say that new.
It's 23-17 Brooklyn. KD has played all 9 minutes so far. 2 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, 1 of 3.
Okay.
Let's see. James Harden has played 6 minutes, so he was the first one taken out of that group.
Okay.
No shots. No points.
Hold on. James, no shots?
Yep. Two
See
boards,
what I'm saying?
4 assists.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving has played 9 minutes. The most shots, 4, 3 of 4, 7 points, no boards, 1 assist.
Come on, man.
And they lead by 6.
Kyrie is shorter, but he's the two guard. James is James.
Yeah. Well, some of the times we always say
Rick James.
The other day when the Clippers were here, I was like, okay, what Ty Lue, and most coaches do this, but I said, they never didn't have Paul George or Kawhi on the floor.
Yeah.
At least having one.
Right.
This you can we're going to have two of them on at all times.
That ain't right.
Real quick, fellas. Uh-huh. Just to let you know, the two surprising things real quick from that game. I had no idea that the Cleveland Cavaliers had the second best defense in the league right now, which is amazing as I look down. And then the Brooklyn Nets started 10 for 10. They had first 10 shots.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, they only up by 6, so that don't help.
They missed their last 6.
Damn.
Yeah.
10 buckets?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a act right juice right there.
All right, we'll break here. When we come back, we'll get back into more of the NBA. And certainly tonight's game, we'll preview that. Kings and Clippers as we continue here on KHDK. Come on, girl. Give it to me, baby. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Rick James.
Give it to me. Give me that stuff, that funky, sweet, that funky stuff.
Back here, Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Hey, Capital Casino now open with their outdoor gaming venue at 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento. Chris, any more gaming tips for us?
Yeah, this is your time segment for your tip.
Chris's tip of the day.
You know, a lot of people think that...
he's got one. How about right. that?
A lot of people think that the dealer is playing against you, but it's not the dealer, it's the card. So if you got a question about something, feel free to ask the dealer what they would do in the situation.
You like that one?
The fact that he had one.
He did, right in the chamber.
Spectacular.
Ready to go.
Oh, man. Chris.
Does that work more times than not for you, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What type of question would you ask the dealer?
Like, so, what should I do here, right?
Yeah. So, like, if you've got, like, a 12 and they've got, like, a 3 showing, you're like, what would you do in this situation?
Ah.
And they'll usually say, like, because they see these hands more than anybody else. They'll say, like, well, a lot of people like to do this. What I would do is this.
Really?
Yes.
As their boss, I would not be happy about that. I'm just going to, because, see, I'm not a gambler like that.
Yeah.
But, Chris, if I ever find myself in that situation...
You'll ask.
I will ask, and I will probably text you right after, depending on what happened.
So there you go.
Yes. That's your tip of the day.
There's your tip of the day. We're going to get into the Kings and Clippers here in a moment. We were just talking about that Brooklyn and Cavs game. Jay said they started 10 for 10. Speaking of the Nets, well, they missed their last 8. They now trail by 5 after the first quarter.
Okay.
20-23 Cleveland.
The experiment's over. It's done. They're screwed.
Yes. I would trade them all right now.
Right now?
I've seen enough.
Okay.
No, that's
get your picks back.
Caris LeVert, who was part of that trade, man, you see what he said about the trade could have saved his life because they had that, you know, full physical and found out different things going on with him internally with his kidney. Man, that was, and I don't know where that's ultimately going to go, but that's sometimes you do those things and you're glad you had the physical.
Oh yes, I mean, God bless, sending out positive vibes. Did I get a half physical? I'm wondering.
What do you mean?
Like, he got a full physical? They're just like, oh, yeah. Hey,
come on, Christy. We need you. Yeah, get in the lineup.
You're good.
Here are your shoes. Go play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cough. All right. He's good.
He's good. He's clear.
Yeah. Shout out to Caris LeVert.
Yes.
I mean, he's a young, budding star player that you can really see the talent with.
Absolutely.
Him. Hopefully everything that I believe it was assist is what they said or something. Hopefully he's able to recover and things are good, really, truly.
Yeah. The league is also talking about, Doug, enforcing, and I mean this, enforcing a no-hugging/handshake, dap, whatever kind of policy at half court. A lot of times when, you know,
hold on, what
starts.
Does that mean, though? When you say enforce, like, do I get a technical?
I don't know. They were talking – the one article I read, I'll have to go back to find this, but it was talking about even having – you know how they have security on the courts sometimes? It's just like, hey, we're not doing this. I'm like, come on, guys. I think their ideas are in the right place, but if in theory, if everybody tonight for the Kings and Clippers that's playing has tested and they're all clear.
Okay.
That's the bubble, right? In theory.
It's the red zone, man.
Yeah.
Like
they've been tested.
Yeah. And I don't know how many times they get tested, but from my understanding, they get tested quite often. So if that is the case, then you would think that everyone is safe. But I understand the philosophy from the standpoint that I don't know what the team, I think it was Washington. Washington played some teams. And when they contact Trace, they went back, and those teams that they played, somebody on those teams got COVID.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, I totally understand. I guess it's like, listen, you can bump and sweat and compete and all that, but just walk away.
Because that we can control, right? We can control the pregame fist bump, handshake, hug. Because, hey, Doug, we're playing. I haven't seen you in a few years. Boom, we hug, whatever. But
they control how much contact there is.
Well, true, but I'm still, if I'm guarding you all game or vice versa, and I'm hot, like, I'm around you.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to take one thing out of the equation if they can. But I just, if I had it and you're guarding me all game, I ultimately think you would end up with it.
I would think so, but I would be holding my breath when I guard you anyway, so don't worry about it.
If you could stay in front of me. All right, so Kings and Clippers tonight. How does this get better? You said early from the right at the beginning that you got a good vibe. That's good. I hope they have a positive feel. The last thing you can do is, oh, it's done. We're done. We're bad. Can't defend. No. You keep working at it. It's not easy. No one said it'll be, hey, it's a quick fix. You just show up tonight and you'll be a good defensive team. That's not how this works. but it has to get better. They're historically bad. It didn't feel like they were going down this road, but now they have, and it's been consistently with these 30-point quarters, 120-point games and more, and it's been backcourts, it's been interior. Everybody is getting what they want right now against the Kings.
And part of it is when you show something in the NBA, and it used to be way more, like it would, let me micromanage it. It would be in a game, like if you came down and dropped inside and dude scored, you're going right back to it immediately. They don't necessarily do that as much now, but there is a, there's an edict that kind of goes around the league that they're looking and they're saying, okay, well, this team is soft in this area. This team. So now that it's almost like a running back who fumbles. And now he has 4 points on the football, but everybody is raking at it. So all of a sudden, you're going to probably get a couple just because they're going at it way more. I think teams are attacking the Kings at an even higher rate than would be normal. You have to – you can't meet that with the same energy. You have to go over and past it. And that's why I say, like many times, you got to extend your defense, pick up, get them. Like your energy, when we look from way up here, you can see which team's got more energy. Mm-hmm. When you're looking, take the sound out of it, everything, and we're just watching people move around, you can see it. And the Kings have to be on the more aggressive side of that than the reactive, passive side of that. And until they do that, teams are going to continue on attacking them. Really good teams understand how to do it at an even deeper level. And it's just something that they're going to have to go through.
I don't know if this is a fair observation, but Doug, it felt like, I mean, believe me, this team hasn't been a great team. It's not like they were a good defensive team last year and they became a terrible one. They had their struggles defensively last year, too. I felt like last year, they honestly had so many more plays where that were one pass, straight line drives, just I beat it one-on-one.
You just cussed. That's what straight line drives sound like to me.
Right.
Cuss word.
I don't feel like that's happening. It doesn't mean the defense is better. Like, I feel like it's a little bit more nuanced as to where it's happening. So now it might be two passes and it's carved up. That's still troublesome. But there would be literally a pass to the wing and then that straight line drive. Where's the help? How did you not stay in front of your man?
Right.
Easy basket.
Absolutely.
It feels like there's a little more work going on, but not that much. They need G-Man out there.
They definitely did.
In the stance?
Did you see that stance by G-Man? Yeah. That was solid work.
Put him in. Let's go.
Yes.
Is that right? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you do. I think that there were more times than not last year that the Kings got beat on straight line drives. I would always say there is absolutely no defense for that. Hakeem Olajuwon, Bill Russell, it doesn't matter. You're attacking that basket like that, it's going to be difficult. For the Kings now, it's some of it sometimes is energy, it looks like. Like, I'm not seeing the right type of energy. Mm-hmm. And that part, it's like, that's you. You got to look yourself in the mirror. Then we talked to Luke Walton about this. Because I said, Luke, they actually played the play correctly, meaning the rotation was right. Like if we went through it in the gym and we said, this is what we want to do, they did it correctly. But at the end of it, there's a decision to be made. Because most times in rotations, when you get to the end, you're choosing which player you're going to go to, and then the last guy's going to get whoever's left. When you make that decision, the last one, it has to be statistic based or whoever's hot at the moment based. And for whatever reason, you leaving CJ McCollum and you're running to Covington. No, you're always running to CJ McCollum. Mm-hmm. Now, if Covington hits like three in a row, okay, then
adjust.
I'll. Right. So that is like a super nuanced thing. Are there some other areas? Yeah, we could point them out at certain times. You know, we've had that coming out in the third quarter thing. We've had – I still think sometimes we have a my offense ain't going, so my defense energy ain't right.
Yeah.
That just don't work with me. I ain't about that one. Because I think that's where you get your offensive energy is from the defensive end. Let's get into them. Let's get after them. Stop them. Boom, we out running. Let's be out. So there are little things, but yeah, you're right. The straight line drive thing, not as much this year.
Yeah, but there's still obviously plenty of statistics that don't go in their favor, losing 8 of their last 10. The losses have been by such a wide margin, too. That's the other part that's concerning. I thought early on when the record was a little better, I go, gosh, these close games, they're winning a lot of close games. That's a good sign. But then when they lose, Doug, they weren't five-point losses. They were getting to be 15-18. This Clipper game, 38 points. I mean, that's getting blown out.
Why do you bring up all this stuff?
Well, that's where it's been frustrating. It's that I feel like they're better than that. I don't know that they're better than the Clippers, but they're not 38 points worse.
Well, you are.
That day.
Yeah. But it wasn't. Like, a lot of the things I also see are fundamental base. Mm-hmm. So when we talk macro, we're talking the team. We're talking five individuals. And then, like, the other night, they had some video, and they went micro, and they showed Marvin Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, like, when I came into the NBA, I wasn't a great defensive player, but I learned how to play defense. Marvin is bigger than me and just as athletic. And so can he learn how to play defense? Well, it never one time, unless you're going up to contest a shot and you're jumping, should your feet ever, both feet be off the floor in defense. But when I watch him move around, there are so many times he's like up, down, up, down. So that's a fundamental thing. I talk about pushing on defense instead of pulling on defense with your legs. I see that a lot. But these are little things that do we talk about practice time and this is what Luke is talking about. These are things that have to be drilled because that's where I got better is I was with Pat Riley and we went over it and over it. And if you didn't do it right, do it again. Damn it, do it again. Keep doing it till you get it right. Just drag him. Well, I don't know that they work like that anymore. And there are teams, in my opinion, who probably have less talent but better defensively. Mm-hmm. And that is also communication and a lot of different things that go along with that.
Yeah, it's too bad because at times it feels like they're playing winning offense. Like I think they've gathered that concept. I think we're definitely seeing less isolations. Mm-hmm. They're moving the ball. The assist numbers on a lot of nights are pretty good.
Yeah.
We had mentioned early on, man, this team can't shoot 50%. They've done that a lot lately.
Except the other team shoots 60.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's just been too easy for the other team. But I'll also see people like, well, they got to change the lineup. It's not like there's five defensive studs that are sitting on the bench.
I got another one for you. This is a pet peeve of mine. Overhelping.
That they're doing now?
Yeah. Like, in,
someone doesn't need it?
Yeah, I'll use this one, for example, because I used it the other night. And understand, I'm never trying to call any one individual out because everyone I could point out where they're guilty of this. But off the ball, Buddy kind of wanders into the lane, right? And he wanders into the lane in it with a good thought.
Yeah.
Let me help.
Yeah.
But there are levels to help. He's got him pretty much under control. I don't need to help that much. Ball gets kicked to his man. He's running for a contest, yeah. But it's too late. Bam, take that with you.
Yeah.
Those are nuances to the game that good teams, like I use like a guy like Magic or even Charles Barkley. Everybody remembers when Charles would get the ball and he would back down in the post, and that's where they got the five-second rule. He was waiting for the help to come, and as soon as it came, boom, he would throw it out. Thus started the rotation, and they would find somebody on the perimeter for a wide-open shot. So you have to know, and this is studying the game and understanding, who am I guarding? Who am I helping on? Who's playing defense on him?
Yeah.
Like, I would tell my guys, I don't want no help. Stay your butt at home. I'll deal with this.
You'll know when I need help.
Yep, because I'll be hollering, help, help. But that's the key, because I'm going to communicate. So if they did overhelp, now I'm at them. Like, why are you? What are you doing, man? I don't need no help.
Yeah,
stay your
this.
Butt at home.
Yeah.
Those are the little things that when we start talking about why we see them on the defensive end, that's it.
Yeah, and I don't know if offensive players, I say players, I shouldn't even say offensive players, think of it the other way, but I know Buddy would want someone to leave him, right, well, to do the help that he just did, because it's like, if you give me that pass and I got you closing out, I got you.
Well, you know what is super interesting about your comment is if I was dealing with Buddy,
uh-huh.
That would be my question to him.
Yeah,
I would say, Buddy, turn around, and what do you think How would you want someone to guard you? How do you take advantage of somebody who's leaving you? Well, in his answer would be, well, you know, if he gets too far off, I'm going to hit him. Okay. Well, that's damn what he's thinking.
Right.
So, but that's, see, now we're having, this is what a lot of times we did is we talk basketball. You got to talk these things and talk it out and work and put them in positions and make you think about the game. That's interesting that you say that because you are exactly right, Jason.
Yeah.
It's like, what would he do against you? Because you're like one of the best shooters in the NBA.
Right.
So why would you be doing that?
Yeah.
For? Why would you do that for? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we've joked about this before about, well, I think it was last time they were playing the Clippers and we didn't know if Patrick Beverley was playing, but he's that professional pest. You go to the, anybody that's played pickup, I'll do it for me. I mean, I'd rather you leave me, catch the ball and shoot. They got this guy that's in, get away. He's a nuisance. What do you not like and what do you like? And then you should try to play the defense the same way.
And it's like a math problem. So, like with Patrick Beverley, I'm like, okay, if you catch the ball, what are you going to do? Well, don't put it down. Just pass and cut. Because you don't want to be dealing with him. Not that you can't. That's
right.
Not what I'm saying.
But that's what he wants.
That's what he wants, and you don't want to give him what he wants. So you want to pass and then touch him because he's going to take it personal. Now he's physical, and boop, there you go. You got a foul. Boop, there's a second one. And now he's out of the game, and you don't even have to worry about him and wave at him on the bench. Well, but that is, see, now we're talking basketball IQ, and we're talking about solving the problem and all those different things that I see us do it, but it's in small windows.
Yeah.
I'm looking for more of a big, picturesque window at the helm of the ship.
Yeah, because I think we even mentioned this back to the Portland game where, and Luke Walton called timeout right after this, but they had a post feed down low. And there was a quick double on Ennis Kanter. And they threw it back up top. And it might have been CJ, and he hit the three. And you just went, I mean, I'm looking up here going, why are you doubling Ennis Kanter? And it set up just a quick pass up top. CJ hit a three. Luke called a timeout. And I'm almost certain that was the discussion.
Luke, why? That's why I'm
live with his jump hook one-on-one
I'm
against
like,
Holmes.
Why are you doing that for?
Yeah.
See, and this for me a lot of times is I want you to explain to me what you were thinking right there. Because it's okay that you did it wrong. Am I upset? Yeah, I'm upset.
Yeah, but tell me what you're thinking.
So that we can learn.
Right.
Because whatever you were thinking, damn it was wrong.
Right.
We need to build from that.
Yeah.
So that, though, Jason, is over-helping.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you helping the leading shot blocker in the NBA with a guy who, offensively, he's pretty good, but will live with whatever he does?
Yeah.
Explain to me, because if you get, because I've been in this situation before too, where like Rick would sometimes do that. Like, what are you thinking? And then you say, and he's like, okay, that made sense. I don't want it, but it made sense.
Don't do it again, but it makes sense. Yeah.
Right, and that's okay. That, but that thing that you just said, you got bird's eye view too. You're sitting going, oh my God, why would you do that?
Well, and the fact, Doug, that it wasn't. Okay, double down on probably someone you don't want, or, you know, but it wasn't a four-pass rotation. Like, they were just ahead of you. It was just right back up to the top, and you went.
And why do you think that was?
Someone was over-helping somewhere else or helping the person that left.
No. We weren't supposed to do it, so no one was even thinking that that's what you were going to do.
That's true.
You aren't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So I don't got your back.
Yeah.
You know why I don't got your back? Because I'm not supposed to have your back right now.
And then it looks like lack of communication, but really it just started with one small error,
and
then everyone else looks lost.
And if you are going to change on the fly, Jason, okay.
Talk
I'll
out.
Give you the – exactly.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Jason?
Yeah.
Talk it out.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm going.
Yeah.
Double team. You got me? Okay, I got you. We ain't supposed to be doing this, but I got your back. I don't know, man.
Well, it's got to get better, and tonight won't be easy because this Clipper team, I was impressed with them the other night, and I don't know. I think we were talking about them maybe not being as lethal as a year ago, but Kawhi's playing more games. Him and Paul George together are really dangerous, and the fact that they spread the floor and have all those three-point shooters. I mean, they really can shoot the three. They hit a bunch against the Kings, and that's such a dangerous weapon. And then Kawhi can just also just go to work on his own in a slow, rhythmic, robotic, planned way that's just about unstoppable.
Look at all these monies. The other night, Luke Kennard off the bench, 20. Marcus Morris, 20. Patrick Patterson, 10. Terrence Mann gives you 2. Reggie Jackson gives you 6. They accounted for half of the 129 that they scored against a Indiana Pacers team that gave you 96. They are a problem. They are, especially when they're playing like this. And if I'm correct, Lou Williams didn't even play in that game.
Nope.
And that's your guy. Luke Kennard, he's an interesting one because he's not going to have to handle the basketball. He's going to shoot the basketball. He's better than what people think. I know he signed a big contract, but I'm a little bit of a fan. I think the kid can play. This is a deadly bunch, man. They understand how to play. They're shooting the best, the highest three-point percentage in the yep. NBA at this particular time. And
they get to the line, too.
And that was what I was going to say. Not exactly that, but it leads to that. Ty Lue wants them to create the shot based upon getting to the paint, which then gives you free throws
yeah.
because you got to stop him getting to the paint. And once it's collapsed, then he wants you to kick it out, and then you're looking at easy shots.
Yeah, and you know, obviously as an organization, Doug, they felt it was in their best interest to move on from Doc Rivers. We'll see long-term what the difference is with Ty Lue. Have you seen any tangible things that are – I mean, one thing is Kawhi is playing more. I don't know yeah. what was discussed, if that's a Ty Lue thing, if that's an organizational thing, if that's a combo.
It sounded like it was actually a Serge Ibaka thing.
Okay.
And I can't remember who we were talking to, but we got into the conversation, and they were saying that when Serge Ibaka came there, he was like, yo, man, why are you not playing? You know that this is what we're going to follow you, and if you do – and this was the first time in, I would say, 2 or 3 years, Jason, that he's played in back-to-back games and is playing more and kind of setting the tone for that ball club. And I also heard that when it comes to Ty Lue, there's a communication that's going on. And that is nothing against Doc, because I think Doc is about as good as you get in this league as far as a head coach. It's just maybe it ran a course, maybe whatever it is, but it sounds like there's a little differences.
Yeah, and they still have the same kind of pressures. I mean, the LA, like, you know, they've always had to look up to the Lakers and as far as fan base there, but this is a good team, and can they break through and do what they haven't done in other postseasons? That's to be determined down the road, but that's their big carrot that they're chasing.
Yeah, it is. They're gonna have problems, because if you think about it, they're gonna have to probably go through the Lakers.
Yep.
They're gonna have to get through a team like Utah or Dallas or somebody, Phoenix, somebody in the Western Conference, and then you're gonna face either Milwaukee, Brooklyn.
If you did that, yeah,
and you gonna earn it. That's yep. for damn sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a second opportunity for the Kings and Clippers. They played just a few days ago. It was Friday. Boy, that was all Clippers, 138-100. We'll see what happens in tonight's rematch. When we come back, we've got the final half hour. As Doug and I are back, we will have 5 on It coming your way. And then, of course, at 5:30, it'll be game night with Scott Marsh and the High Flyer Henry Turner as we continue with more right after this on KHDK.